All right, coming up, the weigh-in. Weigh-in coming up at 3 o'clock. How you feel about it? Trying to get under, you think you see the two threes?
I don't know if I can get to the 230s. I feel really good about the low 240s. I don't know about the 230s.
You ain't got nowhere to go but down. But 230s, if you lose,
I don't know if I can lose. I don't know, man. That 240 was surprising to me last week. That was a big number.
Oh yeah, you didn't see that.
That was a big number. I mean, I thought I could beat my record, my 243, but I didn't think I could beat it by 3 pounds.
240 going to Nashville and
yeah. I've been on it though. I've been running and sweating. I got 30 minutes.
You get one in today?
I got 30 minutes in this morning.
That's
30 actually plus 30 plus minutes.
I got it in, Tyler. You have this. You don't feel good, do you? Do you think
I don't feel great?
Do you? So listen,
I could probably get to feeling good.
Clint is trying to get into the 230s, 240. He got it last week, and I'm trying to get to the 280s. Just 2-8 something. Now, I know I told you about that Baskin Robbins.
Made a trip to those 32 wonderful flavors. Makes me a bit nervous.
It did. It was.
But you were counting those calories, which makes me feel better.
I was eyeing it. Didn't have a lot, like, you know, to throw me off the scent this weekend. Like, you know, people offering me brisket nachos.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And telling me to just go for it. Man, why not have a good time?
Follow your heart. But be ready Monday.
I tell you, you give me an inch, Clint, I'm gonna take it.
Ain't no doubt, I'm with you. That's our problem. That's why we're having to fight the fight.
Hold on, though.
I didn't need much to go get that daiquiri. I mean, to get that.
You got a daiquiri? Did you get a daiquiri too?
No, I'm talking about the margarita, the big margarita at the Astros game.
Damn,
I didn't take. I didn't need. Just needed Clint or Tyler to just say, Tyler. When Tyler said, "Man, dude, just go enjoy yourself, man," I bolted out of that chair up there, bro.
All that ding-a-ling in there.
I did walk the long way to get more steps in to go get it.
See, you're thinking.
But I was halfway. I mean, I was a kid in a candy store when I got that big thing, the big one. It has a little baseball at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Walking around, I drank the hell out of that thing.
Looks so refreshing.
Oh, it was. God, it was.
One of them drinks where you take the first drink and you go,
ah. That's what it is. I want to take the first drink and just say, can you top me off just a little bit more? Real quick, just a little bit more. But weigh in coming up. I was at 292.2 last week. Clint was at 240. We're trying to get to 230s, in the 230s, in the 280s.
Trying to brew up a good bowel movement at the moment, boys. See if I can't drop
you
one.
That was what you did prior to getting on the scale.
Last second dumper.
Yes.
It's key, man.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Move.
We'll see. Coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll do that. All right. By the way, news here, if you are just joining and listening to us, the Texans finally heading into camp, which is in a couple of days. Actually, they report tomorrow, but they have agreed to terms with their second-round offensive tackle, Ariante Ursary. Per league sources, deal is for $9.2 million, their second-round pick, who they moved up to get. So, Clint, that is taken care of. There's no worry about any guys, any of your draft picks, your high draft picks, unsigned. He will be there, ready to go. All the business stuff is taken care of with him, Higgins, and company like that. So that is out of the way. They did get that done before camp started.
Yeah, good deal. I mean, now is he a backup? Is he a swing tackle? Is he really going to push for a starting position? We'll see. It's just good to hear that the young fella is going to be in camp.
Yeah, he's in camp. So that is the latest there. But other guys we expect to be in camp. We've been talking about things that are on our minds leading up to it, Clint. And 2 days. Camp starts. We've looked at the offensive lot because I think where a lot of the questions are, and we probably feel that's where this team will go the furthest, depending on how much growth they have on that side of the ball. But on the defense side of the ball, they didn't just sit back and just say, let's completely run it back, Clint. They've made some additions in the draft, and more importantly, in free agency, they've made some additions to different groups, from the safety group to the linebacking core to the D-line core. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I see you out there, Rob, Brandon, Kick Rocks. the whole crew out there. Sally, I know, is coming in soon. Champ, I'll see you in there. But what are the defensive additions that you're going to be keeping an eye on throughout camp?
Well, I think there's a handful of them, Ron, that move the needle. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming over from Philly after winning a Super Bowl. And look, he's had a lot of success in his career. He has been a player that jumps off the field, whether you're watching the film or you're listening to the press conferences. He's got a little knack about him, about being a guy that can push buttons and even play on the edge a little bit and get away with it and it be a positive. And so, you know, how he... I think fits in here, which I think he'll fit in fine, but where and how he fits in, I think the Jimmy Ward off the field issues have made it a little, probably cleared the path a little bit for it to be a little more obvious than maybe it was before. But the way he fits in, the way he impacts this defense, is going to be big. And then I think just as fans watching CJ Gardner-Johnson, again, you're going to see him, you're going to hear from him, and he's going to entertain you. And so I think the list has to start with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It quickly moves to E.J. Speed at the linebacker level. One, because fans should be familiar with him from his Indianapolis Colts days. Two, I think he is a more of a speed linebacker, which I think those guys are your better linebackers in today's game. And it was a desperate need for the Texans last year. We saw in critical situations late in the season where the linebacker position was targeted by Travis Kelce, obviously, and Pat Mahomes there in the middle of the field. It became an issue. Also, the Christian Harris situation of not really knowing what the hell's going on with him. The EJ Speed sign is something to keep an eye on for many reasons. I think CJ Gardner-Johnson, EJ Speed, those are your top two. They're in that top tier of new Texans on the defensive side of the football to watch.
Do you also look at those guys as being guys that potentially will have the biggest impact?
No question about it. No question about it. For the reasons that I mentioned, you know, it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to be an impact player anyway. He's always got a nose for the ball. He's always around the ball. He's loud. He is an impact player. He's a definition of an impact player. And then you lose a guy like Jimmy Ward or whatever's going on with Jimmy Ward. I haven't seen the most recent off the field stuff with Jimmy Ward. Now the importance of him being that starter, that difference maker, that play in, play out leader is even magnified times 10. And then EJ Speed, like you said, whether you look at the Christian Harris situation or you look at, you know, the true middle linebackers in this league in on this team, not, you know, their issue being in the coverage department, EJ Speed at the very least brings answers to the Christian Harris situation and what kind of got exposed last year in the playoffs. So both of those at that linebacker position are your two biggest, I think, pressure points, if you will. I think EJ Speed, you know, addresses both of those. Damn sure one of them, if not both of them.
Yeah. I think those are the guys, the biggest names that we're looking at. I would throw out Sheldon Rankins because
okay.
I think those, when you look at linebacking core, that's probably one of the places where I think teams may try to target, and you can see the addition of EJ Speed. Safeties, I think, are pretty strong there, especially with CJ Gardner-Johnson you just talked about. I still think the other part is interior D-line. And Sheldon Rankins has had some injuries. He left. They wanted to bring him back last year. He left for the better deal with the Bengals last year, but they bring him back. And he was a guy that was able to get pressure from the interior in his year with the Texans a couple of years ago. He knows the defense. He's played under Matt Burke and played under D'Amico Ryans. And it's just a position to me that can still stand for, or I guess it's just not as settled, right? You don't have a Will Anderson or a Danielle Hunter right there. You know, that's going to be a rotational group of guys. And you hope he is one of the guys, and particularly when it comes to rushing a passer from the inside, that maybe you could see where it's him and D'Nico Autry on third downs, or you could see where whoever it is. But his ability to get after the quarterback, I think there's another one there, because you could still, I think there's still an argument people would point to that the interior D-line is probably the issue.
Yeah.
If there is one.
Well, you're just leaning into some of the same guys that you leaned into last year. Some of them that exceeded expectations. Some of them that met expectations. I think the big thing there is that none of them, with the exception of the guys that missed for the wrong reasons, and maybe some injuries here or there, I don't think anybody disappointed at that interior defensive line. You add Sheldon Rankins to the mix, and I think you've definitely gotten better there. You still have the same issue if you're just talking about D-line and kind of where it falls in terms of strengths and weaknesses. I do think it's the weakest part of the defense. And with that said, I still expect the Mario Edwards Juniors, the Tim Settles, the Foley Fatakasis, as you mentioned, the Sheldon Rankins. I expect those guys as a unit to not be an issue or a weak spot on his defense.
Yeah, I just remember this is a guy a couple of years ago who got 3 sacks in one game against Burrow from the inside. And could be, because that just right now they have decided, and it worked last year, and it can work again this year. They're going to go more rotation and throw kind of numbers with Foley and Edwards Jr. and now Rankins and the other guys they have there up front, as opposed to going to get for drafting the big guy.
A couple other guys, one that I think is just fascinates me, maybe it's selfish reasons, but the Damon Arnett is fascinating. The player that obviously was once regarded to be one of the best in all of college football, and was a very, very gifted player. Ran into some trouble, is trying to make a comeback here. The Texans end up signing him. What does he look like? Is this a legit guy that could threaten to be the third cover corner on this team? Is this a guy that can compete with Jalen Smith, the third-round rookie out of USC? Is he really a guy that can do that, or is this year's project that from jump you realize you see he ain't ready for the NFL level? So I think those two, that Jalen Smith, the third-round draft pick, as well as Damon Arnett, the reclamation product, if you will, or project, I'm sorry, if you will, those two are two guys to watch that are new as well.
Yeah, someone texted in about Christian Harris. Does he count?
Well, I mean, hell,
played
I guess.
Last year, guys.
Well, I'm always interested in Christian Harris. Call him new or not, I'm damn sure interested. If you got insight, let me know.
He played last year. All right, coming up, we weigh in, and I'll let you know if I did get that 2-pack snack wrap from McDonald's. I did drive through that. I drove through. I ordered it. I'll let you know if I ate it.